Welcome back, folks. Again, I wish I could credit this woman, but I'm not sure who she is. The crew is trying to look it up. The only thing we've been able to find is a suspended X account. But I think she's exactly right. So we're going to go back to this video. And again, I'll supplement it with, you know, other videos from today that really give credence and, you know, shows you how important what she's saying is. So again, she's talking about AIPAC, Israel, the IDF. I mean, there's something like 20 to 30,000 IDF soldiers here in America, many of whom have committed war crimes. Like, there have been interviews. We played them here because there was a media outlet that, pretended to be the IDF. They, like, pretended to call, like, they called a soldier and said, oh, yeah, we're with the IDF. You know, we're your superior commanding officer. We want to interview you about your experience. And they get him to admit all these crazy things. And one of the guys was he's a dude that you'd pass on the street in Chicago. He lives in Chicago. He's an American. He grew up here. And he went to Gaza and murdered an entire family, shot a little kid. When the dad rushed out to help him, he shot the dad. When the brother rushed out to check on the dad, he shot the brother. And his comment was, I don't know what the big deal was. Why'd they want to go, you know, look at a dead body? They're stupid for doing it. I don't feel bad for killing him. And that guy's living in Chicago right now. He could be your next door neighbor there. Are they going to be activated? If they were, what could 20 to 30,000 highly trained, highly, you know, integrated into our society people do? I mean, what could you pull off with people with 30,000 soldiers plus, you know, a million collaborators here in the United States? I don't think it's a guarantee that we won't experience that, because the whole plan is to build up Israel as a hegemony and remove the necessity of relying on America. So what would be the reason they would want to keep us around? Here's this woman. Again, I wish I knew her name, but I think she's exactly right about what she sees coming down the pipe. Let's watch.
In fucking Hawaii, all of the fucking signs are there. They're jumping ship because they got out of the United States what they fucking wanted, and now they do not care what happens to you. Larry Fink, king of fucking Zionists and owner of BlackRock, went on national television. Do you know what BlackRock owns? Your fucking mortgages, your savings account, every bank you bank with, your Roth IRA, your 401k. And when they said, well, we ran out of tax dollars to spend on developing the infrastructure to maintain the AI surveillance centers, so we're going to use your savings account and your retirement funds to build that shit, so we have the technology and ease we need to hunt you down and put you in detention centers. Your tax dollars built the detention centers, and your retirement is building the AI surveillance software they need to hunt you the fuck down. Say I'm being dramatic, but the IDF is already here on American soil collecting a paycheck working for ICE. We have confirmation that IDF soldiers were in Chicago, Illinois when ICE was doing its operations. We have confirmation that IDF soldiers are presently working in Delaney, New Jersey. Former ICE agents have already confirmed that they were trained by IDF soldiers on how to use AI surveillance to hunt down specific immigrant fucking targets. They are already here, and they have every tool they need to fucking genocide you. They wrote a manifesto about how they intend on doing it, and in the coming days, they are voting to bring the people over to fucking do it. We do not have the luxury to disagree about politics. We do not have the luxury to be Democrats or Republicans. The threat to American soil is presently operating on American soil, getting paid by your tax dollars and your retirement funds. You are not planning your rebellion, then you need to be planning your departure. It is fight or flight, and not another moment can be spent arguing about this. We have to rip Donald Trump, his entire administration, AIPAC, and all of Israel out of the United States of America, root and stem, because when they are done here, they will come for the world.
Yeah, I think she's right. I think she's right. And it sucks because Donald Trump was the one dude that was equipped to free America from these foreign interventions, and instead he has gone all in on them, and he has. He's sold out America. He's liquidated us.
His name? This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Folks, this is the War Room Live. Follow us on Rumble, rumble.com/the War Room Live. That's rumble.com/the War Room Live. That's the primary feed. Of course, follow us on X. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Follow us at AJ in Live, at AJ in Live, at Real Alex Jones. We've got a lot of other videos that just happened to, hey, look, you know, maybe I am the crazy one. Maybe all these things have nothing to do with each other. Maybe they're all totally different. And I'm the crazy one drawing red strings between the totally disparate events. But I can't help it. But I can't help but notice how these things are going. And I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to be proven wrong. But the thing is, it's like, if you assume that all of these things happening and all of these people engaged in it do not have your best interests in mind and, in fact, are trying to kill you and they have to resist them with everything that you've got, if you operate with that as an assumption, the worst possible thing is that they weren't trying to kill you after all and, you know, you just, like, made yourself powerful even though you didn't really need to. Whoops. Oh, well, worst of the worst. If that is true, but you don't act like it's true, if you ignore this rising situation, then you die. Then everything is gone and everything gets destroyed. So it's kind of like, even if this isn't what they're doing, we can't take the risk. It's not worth the gamble. It's not worth the gamble to just assume that all of these things going into place that look an awful lot like a giant digital panopticon prison planet, Zionist hell world. Yeah, you know, maybe it's all an accident. Maybe it's all a coincidence. Maybe everything's fine. But I'm not willing to take that risk, and neither should you. It's the same argument I had about, like, QAnon with the QAnon people about Trump, where they were like, "Don't worry about it. Everything's under control. Hillary's in Guantanamo already," or whatever. And it's like, okay, if you operate as if that's true, then you're going to be screwed if you're wrong. If you operate as if that's not true and it is true, it's fine. Do you see what I'm saying? That, like, you have to operate as if the attack really is coming. You have to operate as if this isn't a coincidence, that these are all related, that this is all interconnected, that it is a giant attack. Consequences of being wrong in that situation aren't that bad. The consequences of being wrong and ignoring it and not thinking it's happening and you're wrong about that, then it's hard to explain. It's hard to verbalize, but I think you get what I'm saying. If you don't, maybe your IQ is not high enough to be here, because I think it's pretty clear what I'm trying to get across. And I didn't go around looking for videos today to bolster my argument that everything we see going on is all about creating a giant Zionist control grid. And again, the thing is, there was a tweet one time. It was a, you know, drop down choice poll people were holding on Twitter, and it said, you know, who do you think is right? Do you think Alex Jones is right that it's the World Economic Forum? Do you think Nick Fuentes is right that it's the Jews? Do you think that somebody else is right that it's the Chinese? It all seemed pretty simple to me, because it's all of it together, right? it's the World Economic Forum as the managing structure, you know, forcing this stuff onto national governments all throughout the West. China developed, devised, and really perfected the social credit system that's being exported out to everybody else. And once the global Chinese-style social credit score control grid is in place, it'll be managed out of a super state in Israel that will serve as the capital of the one world government. It's all of this combined. And again, it really doesn't seem that complicated to me. But people, I guess, want an even simpler answer. It's really not even that complicated. Let's go to clip 14 here. This is Donald Trump. I assume this was today. Maybe it was a month ago. Who knows? Who cares? Because we're in Groundhog's Day and we just keep experiencing the same thing over and over and over. So here's Donald Trump admitting yet again that, yeah, we got into war with Iran because of Israel, as if anybody needed to be told this. It's good to hear it confirmed for the 1,000th time. Let's watch.
It is separate, but Israel, they've been a great partner. Bibi Netanyahu has been, for me, a great partner. For other people, not so good. For me, he's been very good. We were very effective, what we've done, and they needed us. They couldn't have done it without us, couldn't have even come close, and they needed us, and they got us to help them with a real problem, because Iran was a real problem, a big problem, a worldwide problem.
For them. It was a problem for them. Wasn't a problem for us. Trump's like, he's been a great partner for me, not so much for other people, like the American people, like the rest of us. Again, yeah, I don't, you know, it is just like Groundhog's Day, but like, it's so inexplicable. What is this devotion to Netanyahu? What is this? He's the worst. And it's like every week, Donald Trump has to go out of his way. The metaphors I'm thinking are not fit for radio airwaves. To kneel before him, to kneel before Benjamin Netanyahu, even if he doesn't have to. It's just like nobody's talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, and Trump just like kicks the door down and is like, I want Netanyahu pardoned by the president of Israel because he's a genius and a war hero and he's the best. And we're just like, Jesus, sir, this is a Wendy's. Please calm down. What is this devotion to Netanyahu? Who is this guy? He's some dude that grew up in Philadelphia, changed his name from some Polish nonsense to something that sounds more Hebrew. Like, why is he allowed to do literally anything that he's doing? Why is he writing letters to our congressmen saying, thank you for adopting my proposal to merge the Israeli and American governments? This is like so inexplicable, cultish, bizarre. And pathetic, and just pathetic. I mean, genuinely, who likes Netanyahu? Who likes him? If you were to hold a poll of Americans, you're like, what do you think about Benjamin Netanyahu? I think the only thing people would like about him is the fact that he gets stuff done for his country. They'd be like, yeah, I like him because he is a model of how statesmen should be, because he clearly ruthlessly values his own country over everybody else and does whatever's necessary to benefit himself and his country. I don't know. I just don't know, man. I cannot wrap my mind around what is motivating Donald Trump. It is genuinely crazy. Netanyahu was the first world leader to congratulate Joe Biden. He was the first one. So, I don't know what to make of it anymore, but this is the poison that we're stuck with. And for some reason, it's like everybody in our government worships the ground Benjamin Netanyahu walks on. And he's basically worse than Hitler. So, do you feel insane yet? Because that's the consequence of having these people run your society, is you feel insane because they are all insane and the most ridiculous liars you've ever encountered. And yet their control is so ubiquitous it makes you feel like the crazy one for noticing. Let's go to clip 11 here. GOP Representative Marlon Stutzman met with Netanyahu in Jerusalem last week to hand deliver him a draft resolution. And all I want is to live in a country where obvious treason is treated as such, where we have politicians who actually like our country more than other countries. Is that so much to ask? Like, again, I feel like I'm going insane. There are people that walk around the Capitol building asking everyone they meet, America first or Israel first. 90% of the time, people won't even answer. Well, actually, it's like 50% of the time they won't answer. 20% of the time they say Israel. And then the rest of the time, they'll say America. But will they? But I might even be over guessing it. I mean, for the most part, they refuse to say. Which really tells you, like, where we are in this country. We are colonized subjects of a foreign state of 10 million people. Let's go to clip 11 here. This is GOP Rep. Marlon Stutzman. Again, just slobbering over Israel and Netanyahu in the most pathetic display I've ever seen. Let's watch.
Congressman, you actually met with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem last week, and you provided him with a draft House resolution that would end U.S. financial military aid to Israel. Tell us more about your proposal and how the Prime Minister viewed it.
Yeah, so we had a great meeting. I tell you, the relationship between the United States and Israel is stronger than ever. In fact, you know, I often ask people, who is the greatest ally of the United States? You know, we used to say it would be Great Britain, but these days it's Israel. And they have grown so much, 10 million people. Their GDP is growing towards $1 trillion. And this was actually something that came from Prime Minister Netanyahu's conversation with 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago, when he said that the next MOU with the United States and Israel, he would like to see us move away from the $3.8 billion annual supplement that we send to Israel. Now, you know, does this end anti-Semitism? I doubt it. Does it create more conspiracy theories? Probably. But this is real. This is a maturing relationship. And we've been calling it aid to trade, moving from an aid supplement to a trade agreement, to defense agreements, and a real mature partnership, because Israel has grown tremendously and their abilities and capabilities are incredible. And so he was very open and excited to see the resolution. I filed it today here in the House of Representatives, and we just want to show President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu that Congress would support moving this direction.
Thanks, Goy. Thanks, Goy Stutzman. You absolute dumbass. Netanyahu has made the case for relationship must change from old partnership. It's so funny. They asked, they're like, you presented this idea to Netanyahu. How did he react to it? Meanwhile, Netanyahu is writing letters to Representative Stutzman saying, thank you for adopting my plan. It's like, at least get your story straight. Again, what are you supposed to say? It really is just pure unrelenting insanity, because none of it is even remotely moored to reality at all. There's no touchstone to reality. We just heard Donald Trump talk about how there's no way Israel could do anything that it needed to do, that it was desperate and we had to go help. First of all, admitting, obviously, that the Iran war was for the benefit of Israel and for the sake of Israel and at the behest of Israel, like we've known the entire time. But also, obviously, contradicting whatever that dumbass just said about Israel's, they're the incredible power that they have. Now, they're our greatest ally, really, because they provide us nothing. They give us nothing. We benefit nothing from them. We give them everything. They can't survive without us. We ruin our reputation. Our soldiers die for their behalf. What makes them a good ally? Their democracy in the Middle East. Are they? That might be the best example. They're the only democracy in the Middle East. They're not a democracy, and they're not the only one in the Middle East. It literally makes no sense. It literally makes no sense. Of course he gets money from AIPAC. I mean, that's a tiny amount. Marl Stutzman. Marl Stutzman's soul is worth $48,000, apparently. This is what I mean. None of it ever makes any sense. And they know that it doesn't make any sense, which is why it makes everybody feel crazy. We obviously went to war with Iran. They'll tell you totally straight face, you're a crazy anti-Semite for saying that. They will simultaneously hold a Republican Jewish coalition events where they say in no uncertain words, we got rid of Thomas Massey. That's what you get for messing with us. That's what you get for questioning us. The Jewish people ousted Thomas Massey because it was Israel. At the exact same time, Ben Shapiro is saying that's the stupidest thing he's ever heard. And anybody that believes that is an anti-Semite. Does it make you feel crazy yet? Because they know what they're doing. Do you think Ben Shapiro actually thought Thomas Massey was ousted because of his opposition to the Big Beautiful Bill? Do you think that? They know. They know exactly what they're doing. So we go to war for Israel. We fund everything about Israel. In exchange for this, they provide us nothing. They destroy our country. The incredible power they wield here in America is never, never used to benefit the American people, ever. And yes, I'm talking about the Israelis and the American Jews and all of their incredible power, the ADL and AIPAC and the SPLC and all of these groups with their inordinate authority over our country, with their infinite wealth to shape political conversations and debates. When has a single Jewish organization ever put money towards, I don't know, ousting a Soros DA? Or just, I mean, literally pick anything, pick literally anything. What has the benefit been ever for this partnership for America? And if our partnership, if this, you know, little relationship we have with this disgusting little cancer spot of Eastern European transplants, the genocidal psychopaths in Israel. If all it was us paying their way, if all it was us dying for their sake, destroying our country, destroying our economy, destroying our standing in the world, undercutting all of our demands from the Trump administration and mass deportations or anything else that would actually tangibly benefit this country, it all gets subsumed. It all gets thrown to the side for the benefit of the Israelis. And if in exchange they had even a modicum of gratitude, if in exchange they said, thank you for all of this, this is incredible, how can we help, what can we do for you, maybe it would be manageable. Maybe it would be able to be endured without too much anger. But it is the fact that we give everything to them and they turn around and say, we're the bad guys for not giving more. They demand that we tie ourselves to an even greater degree to them. Screw these people. Screw this country. Screw Netanyahu. Screw Representative Saltzman, whatever the hell his name is. They are all traitors to this country. They are all engaged in the liquidation of this country and the selling out of your children's future for their own benefit. And to have the balls to then turn around and act like they're doing something for us, like this is a benefit for us. And again, I'll just say, I mean, Donald Trump could have been the guy. He could have been the one. What's going to happen instead? What's going to happen instead is that the Israelis took over the Trump administration, meaning they took over the Republican Party, meaning they took over America. They're now using the strength and power of America to progress their own agenda, to destroy the people of America, to make our lives more miserable, but to benefit themselves. They send America to war with Iran, a war that was always going to have massive negative consequences economically, that was always going to be a pointless endeavor without American boots on the ground. The goal was always to get American boots on the ground because the goal was always to use their position in control of America to grind America into the dust, fighting their enemies. That was always the plan. It's the same plan they're running with the Republican Party. They took over the Republican Party. They turned it towards Israel first and Israel only. You have people like Alan frickin' Dershowitz, Jeffrey Epstein's bosom buddy, switching over to the Republicans and saying, I'm still a Democrat. I still believe in all of the Democratic things I've always believed, but I'm a Republican because I'm pro-Israel now. Meanwhile, Thomas Massie, a founding father reborn, gets kicked out of the Republican Party because he's not sufficiently pro-Israel. So the Republican Party has been taken over completely by the Israeli lobby, which means they're going to go down in flames in the next election and the election after that. Meaning that our good friends, the Israelis and the diaspora Jews here in America, who are more loyal to Israel than they are to America, have just set up the Republican Party to be absolutely viciously defeated in the ballot box, but not before Donald Trump pretends to do a bunch of stuff, offends them, outrages them, and sets the stage for them to take vengeance on not just Trump, but his supporters as well. Trump will probably be in Israel when all of this goes down, but the Democrats will get into power. They will dominate the Senate, the Congress. They'll probably pack the Supreme Court, and they will institute the most egregious and dangerous oppression that certainly America has ever seen. And it's going to get really bad. And it might get super violent. And that might be the perfect time for people like the founder of the Tikva Fund or Jonathan Greenblatt himself to really make the case they've been making that, you know, Israel's the place for Jews. You know, you Jewish Americans, you don't want to be in America. Look how dangerous it is with these radical Democrats in charge running around. Gee, it looks like you better come seek safety with us here in Israel, as America, as they put it, is the dying empire. And you're going to want to come over to the rising empire in Israel. And you're going to want to take your money with you as well. You're going to want to start that feedback loop as you withdraw money from the American economy. The American economy standing goes down and it's harder to get money, and that feedback loop will continue at a pace. Do you not think this is the plan? And do you not know that they're already building to a massive communist revolution on May 1st, 2028? All these plans are in place. They're all just rolling out right in front of you. They're spiking the Republican Party. They're making it so the Democrats sweep into victory and have total power to do whatever the hell they want to the American people, to legalize all the immigrants, to actually, you know, charge Trump supporters with terrorism. Oh, they're not going to need a January 6th this time. They're just going to do it. They keep saying they're doing it. They're going to do it. Listen to anybody in the Democratic Party that speaks honestly, and they all say, yeah, we're going to round up Trump supporters when we're in office. They're not joking. They're going to go after, you know, police officers, ICE agents. And they're going to launch a communist revolution on May 1st, 2028, by having every major labor union in the country go on strike all at the same time. It's the play they ran in 1848. It's the play that they're currently running in Bolivia. Do you know that Bolivia has been in a countrywide strike for the last 4 weeks? Did you know that? You didn't. Why weren't you told? Because they're going to do it here. They're practicing in Bolivia. I'll tell you about that on the other side.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there in the way of it. If you look at the number of countries that have had runaway inflation since World War II, you know, in my lifetime, it's very large. Once you create that, it becomes a different world. And of course, you have countries that gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, it's just amazing what people do. Not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything. And let's be clear, though,
a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed. So here's Prince Charles, the king, announcing the digital chains, the Mark of the Beast system, and a dovetail with Tony Blair, who's globally, through the UN and Bill Gates, standardized the world ID that the UK, under orders of the king, I thought he's just ceremonial, no, he can dissolve Parliament anytime he wants, is now going into place. This all ties into everything. We'll talk to the top economist, who's a great patriot, Dr. Kirk Elliott, in a moment about it, but here's the clips.
My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Tell us a bit about what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
The first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model. You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your electronic health records, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
What they do is Oracle make big donations to Tony Blair's Institute, and Tony Blair's Institute advocates for further advantages for Oracle and Oracle-affiliated entities. Listen, the centralization of data and the centralization of power is part of a dark and nefarious agenda.
People are really crazy if they don't call you. You're on record, the biggest company, because you have the best ratings, the best gold and silver prices. It is the smart move. Get a free consultation, they can roll over financial instruments.
This should be a happy time, right? So don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. There is a path to safety here financially, and that's what tangible assets do. This is what
God
the numbers
always
are
gives
telling
his
us.
People a way out, but the people perish always. For lack of knowledge.
Always. He always does. He's never going to say something, even if it's the mark of the beast. When he talks about it in Revelation, he's not going to say something unless we have a choice to either accept or reject, because he didn't create robots.
KEPM.com/gold. Sign up for the email there to get a free consultation. We'll call you right back. Or you can call the number 720-605-3000. The smartest investment you could have made in the last 3 years. I'm telling you right now, this is the place to go. 720-605-3000.
Weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. I don't know about you, but I, for one, was totally unaware that Bolivia, country in South America, had been basically frozen for the last several weeks as massive coordinated strikes have shut down the entire country. Have you heard about this? It's not been a major news story here. I really hadn't heard anything about it. I can't help but see it as a practice run for what we know is going to happen in 2028. So we've shown the videos, we've shown the articles. Maybe we need to have Carlin back on, Carlin Borishenko, because she is another person who's noticed that they're planning this and is making noise about it. But essentially, the UAW union, which is the largest labor union in America, is acting as the spearhead, but they're getting all of the other labor unions in America to design their contracts so they all expire on May 1st, 2028. So come May 1st, 2028, their plan, as stated by them, like this is their announced intentions, is they are going to have an indefinite, permanent strike until they get their demands. Their demands include universal health care, universal basic income. It's communism. It's basic communism, or, you know, very far down the road socialism. And they're saying they're going to do this, and they are going to do it, and they have the power to do it, and nobody is stopping them. So they're going to do this. They're going to do this on May 1st, 2028. They're going to bring the economy of America to a screeching halt, and they're going to demand constitutional changes to our government if we want to have an economy. And it's point by point, step by step, exactly what's happening in Bolivia as we speak. And nobody's reporting on it. And I can't help but think that nobody's reporting on it because they don't want you to know what the plan is. They want this to happen in Bolivia. They can test the reaction. They can test the, you know, stress test the operation in a small country that doesn't have a big geopolitical impact. They'll work out the kinks and then they'll do it here. And they do this. They did the same thing with Brazil and America in terms of stealing the election. But maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's just a big coincidence that we know that labor unions in America are planning this protest on May 1st, 2028. And it just so happens that on May 1st, 2026, the Bolivian unions do exactly the same thing. So imagine America experiencing this, because we're about to, if we don't stop it. From Reuters, what is behind Bolivia's widening protest? This was from May 18th, 2 weeks ago, right? And it had already been going on for 2 weeks at that point. So Bolivia has been basically shut down and like in a state of open rebellion for the last month, and nobody in America has reported on it. Supporters of Bolivia's former leftist president, Evo Morales, marched through La Paz on Monday, the 18th, widening unrest that has blocked roads for nearly 2 weeks and triggered shortages of food, fuel, and medical supplies across the country. The disruptions have stranded trucks on highways and left patients unable to reach hospitals, authorities said. Argentina sent a military aircraft with food supplies at Bolivia's request. Demonstrations began with strikes in early March, or early May, rather. They've grown into a nationwide movement involving labor unions, miners, transport workers, and rural groups. Protesters are pressing President Rodrigo Paz's government to roll back austerity measures and address rising living costs, with some calling for his resignation. Analysts say the unrest has broadened from local grievances to wider anti-government sentiment over the country's economic direction. What are the main grievances? The protests centered on rising economic pressures. Teachers are demanding higher pay and more funding, while transport unions have launched open-ended strikes amid fuel shortages and supply concerns. Indigenous and rural groups oppose agrarian reforms they say favor larger landowners. Despite the government repealing a controversial agrarian law this month, protests have continued. Paz, who took office in November and inherited an economy in turmoil, has defended spending cuts and fuel subsidy reductions as necessary to stabilize public finances. He's preparing a reform package for Congress that includes gradually lifting fuel price controls and measures to boost domestic energy production and investment. The government has sought to ease tensions through negotiations and wage increases while deploying around 3,500 security forces to clear roadblocks. Authorities say about 57 people have been arrested. So again, an open-ended strike, a strike for which there is no easy solution, a strike which involves every major labor union in the country simultaneously going on strike in an attempt to get major concessions for the, you know, former socialist president Morales. Bolivia's capital under siege as protests deepen crisis for President Paz. Again, all the way back in May, on May 19th. Why haven't you heard about this? Why has nobody been reporting on this? Bolivia's trade unions demand president's resignation amid ongoing general strike. So this was May 30th, just a few days ago. Amid ongoing rebellion against the neoliberal model, the Trade Union Federation, Bolivia's Workers Central, issued a strong statement addressed to President Paz. The statement demanded Paz's resignation and called on popular sector to remain in the streets until they can defeat attempts to restore the neocolonial state. The COB issued the statement through Bolivian community media on Thursday, May 28th. In it, the union addressed the president, saying, "Enough of your lies, enough of deceiving the Bolivian people." Meanwhile, 77 roadblocks remained in six of the country's departments on the 28th day of protest. Yeah, it's coming here, folks. This is going to come here. And if we can, I don't know if y'all have my screen exactly, but I want to just go through some of these. Major protests continue across Bolivia as demonstrators demand the resignation of President Luis Arce, citing economic turmoil. I think that's wrong, right? President Paz. Fuel shortages and growing frustration with his government's handling of the country's crisis. This was from 2 days ago. You know, it's still going strong. But this is what it's been like. Major protests continue across Bolivia Even as today, rural workers in Bolivia have seized an oil field in the Santa Cruz region and halted all production as part of a general strike against neoliberalism. The site in the Santa Rosa El Cerro municipality is now fully offline. That was of June 30th. Did you know this? Like, you would think this would be kind of important, that there's massive nationwide protests all across Bolivia and that the protesters are actively taking over oil fields and shutting down the production. That seems like kind of a big deal. Thousands of Bolivian miners and workers joined together against the regime of Rodrigo Paz, a puppet of the United States, they say, which seeks to hand over the resources and privatize the country to deliver it to the empire. Imperialism wants Bolivia to become another Argentina. The people said enough and are fighting to prevent it. This, of course, is the exact, story they'll tell Americans as well. I think they're right. I don't exactly think they're wrong, but I think they're on both sides of this. Like, do you understand? This is why I constantly refer to like that JFK speech where he talks about, hey, you should have paid Karl Marx a little better. He never would have written the Communist Manifesto, or the, you know, contented workman ad from the 40s that says, hey, you know, the contented workman, the person who's paid well and respected, they got no love for communism. They got no need for communism. You need both. You need the ruthless capitalist exploitation to cause the anger and the outrage and the discontent that the communists can then take advantage of. You need both. You can't have one or the other, right? You need the quote-unquote capitalist, the ruthless industrialist, to abuse the people so that the communists have fertile ground to plant their seeds. Like, don't think for a single second that this is a fight against, you know, capitalism and communism. They are working hand in hand to destroy populations and take over countries. And it goes on. This is from May 19th. Bolivia is descending into chaos with protesters demanding Rodrigo Paz resign just 6 months into his term. Riots, clashes with police, and looting have broken out in La Paz as miners, indigenous groups, and unions take to the streets. Protesters have taken an oil production facility near Santa Cruz, the economic and conservative heart of the country. This is on the same day that Paz calls on security forces to destroy blockades. The U.S. also usually gets involved when oil production is affected. This is from June 3rd. Bolivia is facing its most serious political unrest in years as protests over low wages, inflation, and economic reforms spread across La Paz. Demonstrators have confronted police and blocked roads from May 26th. And from June 2nd, the protest in Bolivia has reached 1 month and is spreading with more than 90 roadblocks causing shortages in La Paz. So once again, this was not a spontaneous reaction to austerity measures. This was a planned, coordinated uprising sponsored and managed by the labor unions in the country with the purpose of overthrowing the legitimately elected government and installing a permanent communist rule. And once again, I'll say the reason you don't know about this, the reason this is not being covered, is because this is the practice run for what they're going to do in America in 2028. This is it. This is their plan. This is exactly what they plan on doing. Now, think about the riots and the chaos that we've experienced just over the last year at ICE facilities or Black Lives Matter in 2020. I mean, think about that being a, for the most part, totally decentralized and in many cases, you know, spontaneous uprising. Now imagine it's being coordinated by every major labor union in the country. U.S. Defense Secretary compares Bolivia protest to government overthrow. You know, maybe it's all a coincidence. Maybe it's just a coincidence that they happen to be running the exact playbook that they'll be running here in 2 years. And I really, you know, again, as you look at all of this, it really does seem like all of this is building up towards that, that you're going to have this ultimate culmination of this, of these massive riots, the massive chaos, if we even make it that far, because I also am seeing a lot of signs that there's going to be some sort of major attack at the World Cup. The most obvious one is these people in New York emerging out of the manhole covers that nobody can identify who they are, the mystery people that the most surveilled city in the world, New York City, the most well-funded police department in the world. You know, the New York Police Department is like the third largest army in the world or something ridiculous. They have more manpower and money than you could ever possibly use. But they can't figure out who these people are, who these teams of people going into the underground in New York for mysterious reasons. Groups of people. Again, you get one guy going in a manhole, that guy might be crazy. When you have 10 people getting into a manhole, getting out, having pre-staged cars and clothes to change into, this is an operation being carried out. And I keep saying that if there's going to be a false flag pulled off, it's going to have to be absolutely massive. What better event to do that than the World Cup? Take 9/11 and make it worldwide. You know, demolish a stadium while a game is being played. I mean, God only knows. But it's another example of, like, I think something's happening here. I think there's not as much concern as there should be for where all of this is headed. I got, again, more videos to back all this up. Let's go to clip 13 here. This is Ro Khanna on the floor of Congress. And he actually, and, you know, this is one of the things where the Democrats are the only ones standing up against this. Ro Khanna and another Democrat have now sponsored a bill to strip Section 224 out of the NDAA, which is great, and that should happen. The Republicans in our country only serve Israel. That's where we're at this point. One of the other things that happened today that I haven't covered yet, or yesterday, is the fact that the weaponization fund that was supposed to go towards everybody persecuted by the Biden Justice Department, it no longer exists. They've gotten rid of the weaponization fund. It was supposed to be $1.8 billion provided to victims of Joe Biden's Justice Department, the January Sixers, or us, right? People, organizations who unfairly were persecuted by the Biden Justice Department were actually going to get a payout for this. This happens all the time on the left, all the time, in instances where it never should happen. The most obvious one would be the Black Lives Matter riots, where they burnt entire cities down, and yet the people that were engaged in those riots were then later given $20,000 to $30,000 a piece from the city because they said they were abused by the cops and that their arrest was illegitimate. So they participate in a, you know, arson attack. They get put in zip ties for 30 minutes. New York City and Philadelphia hands them a $20,000, $30,000 check apiece. This happens all the time on the left. For once, it was about to happen for the right, because we actually are victims of government overreach. We actually do have a case for reparations in what the illegitimate actions of the Biden government cost us, did to us, personal damage. People like Stuart Rhodes, life destroyed, stuck in a jail cell. People like, I mean, any of the January Sixers, but especially the more prominent ones, like the QAnon shaman, American shaman, who spent like 6 months in solitary confinement. He deserves reparations. He deserves payback. We all saw the video. He was given a tour through the Capitol by police officers. He was walking next to police officers the entire time. And the minute Donald Trump said to go home, he got on the bullhorn and told everybody to go home. They put him in solitary confinement for 6 months. You don't think he deserves a little bit of a payout? A little bit of something to deal with the suffering that he has been subjected to, the lifelong consequences of the mental attack against him for 6 months? Do you know why we're not getting the weaponization fund? Because the Senate Republicans shut it down. The Republican Party, who just gave like $100 billion to fight a war for Israel against Iran, can't spare $1.8 billion for their own constituents who actually experienced brutal persecution by the Biden administration. It was the Republican Party that shut that down. The Republican Party decided to suddenly remember their fiscal responsibility, not when it's war with Iran, not when it's a $1.5 trillion military budget, that gets passed through with flying colors and give it all over to Israel while we're at it with Section 224. But your voters, your constituency, the people you're supposed to represent might accidentally experience a windfall, experience appropriate reparations for the massive, you know, emotional scarring and financial damage that was done to them by the Biden administration. Here come the Republicans to shut that down and make sure that we cannot ever benefit from them being in power. It never happens. The Democrats, they understand the way the game is played. The Democrats get into office and they create NGOs. They start funding their own little pet projects. They start handing out big gift packages to every, you know, ethnic minority that helped to get them elected. They reward their patrons. Republicans get shafted every single time. Every single time. And again, I just want to say, it's not just like retarded the way these Republicans treat their own people. The occasional time they actually decide to be concerned about the budget, it's only when it could possibly benefit you, then they'll come in and swoop in and stop it. But it's like, even if it was for their own self-aggrandizement, even if it was for their own power, even if it was totally a selfish maneuver by them, tactically, strategically, if they want to retain power, if they want to stay in office, wouldn't you want to reward your people? Like, it doesn't make sense on any level. On any level. And it's not even a principled stand anyway, like you're stopping government waste. This isn't waste. This is an appropriate settlement for the misbehavior of the Biden administration that these Republicans utterly failed to stop in the first place. So you tell me, give me a single damn reason to vote for Republicans this time around. They're the ones that got us into war. They're the ones that shut down the weaponization fund. They're the ones that are tying us ever closer to Israel. It's just, we do not have to take this. We do not have to put up with this. We, the American people, do not have to just sit back and allow these people to screw us every single time. And at least in this instance, I say God bless the Democrats and Ro Khanna in particular for standing up against the takeover of America by this hostile foreign nation, Israel. Let's watch.
American people are tired of the arrogance and insolence of Prime Minister Netanyahu telling America what we should do. The entire country of Israel has a GDP that is less than a single town in my district. Yet somehow Netanyahu thinks he could tell the American people what we should do. The person who's most upset with him right now is President Donald Trump. And everyone in America, whether you're a Republican, an independent, or a Democrat, says that we need to tell Netanyahu that America calls the shots, not the prime minister of any other country. They want less cooperation and blank checks to Israel, not more. Only the United States Congress would dream up at this moment, let's actually do more for Israel, not less. And that's what Section 2024 does. It's a pretty simple thing. Should we do more for Israel than we already do, or should we do less? If you think we should do more for Israel, you should be against my amendment. If you think we should do less for Israel at the time that he's arrogantly telling Donald Trump what to do, then you should be for my amendment. Now, let me just be clear. Mr. Netanyahu actually wrote to a member of Congress to put this Section 224 into the bill.
So yeah, great. Good thing we got Ro Khanna there. Put up some defense to this. House Committee blocks effort to strip U.S.-Israel cooperation provision from annual defense bill. So it's moving forward. It's moving forward regardless. Moving forward, no matter what. Let's go to clip 18 here. This is U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Mike Waltz, who, I remind you, was caught feeding information to Netanyahu to undermine Donald Trump. His punishment for that was to be appointed U.N. ambassador. It's called Jewish privilege. Let's watch.
The UN has been and is a cesspool of anti-Semitism. And under President Trump, there is no more turning a blind eye, period. We are going to use our voice, our vote, our money, and what leverage we have. So, you know, I won't elaborate on too much of what you see out there. But what I do want to tell you is what we're doing about it. Well, number one, anti-Semites that call Israel a stain on humanity, like Francesca Albanese, are now sanctioned. Number two, organizations like UNESCO, we've backed out of. We're no longer funding. UNRWA, we are going to dismantle and are in the process. The so-called Human Rights Council that has the likes of China, Cuba, Venezuela, and others on it, we are no longer participating in. And I think most importantly, on the Security Council, we have vetoed time and time again, six resolutions by my count just since October 7th, measures that are completely, absolutely, and only targeted towards our best, and I would say, and absolutely the most democratic ally, the only democratic ally in the Middle East, Israel. So we are using our money, we are using our voice, we are using our vote, and we are going to take this on and fight and block and tackle at every turn, period. And this is only because of President Donald J. Trump's leadership. That is just indisputable.
U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Yeah, that was you. That was the U.S. ambassador. I know it's kind of confusing because he literally is talking the entire time there about Israel and benefiting Israel. But this is the arrangement, right? They get to use our power. They get to use the American government's authority. They get to use our prosperity and our position in the world to benefit themselves, not America. Nothing he just described had anything to do with America. He's talking about putting sanctions on a UN special rapporteur for accurately reporting what Israel's doing in Gaza. He's talking about using America's vote to protect Israel from sanctions by the UN. He's talking about using America's power, wealth, influence, using all of it for their ends, to their benefit. That's the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. literally giving a 5-minute speech about how everything he's doing is in service of Israel and even taking on the U.N. just to benefit, again, this genocidal little psychopathic state. So Mike Waltz and everyone like him needs to be forcibly expelled from the United States. That's my position at this point. Stripped of power is one thing, but I don't want him here. These people don't deserve to be here. He got caught committing treason against the President of the United States. His punishment was to go to the UN to represent Israel under the name of the United States. Screw this system.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.